welcome to Texas Scribes. This program features the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. Today, we'll be hearing an excerpt from Go Down Looking, a novel by Jim Ainsworth of Commerce. It's the story of Jake Rivers, a young man whose search for self leads him across rural Texas. The storyline travels back and forth between Northeast Texas and the Texas Panhandle. We spoke with Ainsworth about how his own experiences as a young man in the Panhandle influenced his writing of the book.
Where I lived, at least when I got out there, I thought it was the most desolate place I had ever seen. It was right in the middle of nowhere, and we lived a long way from the nearest neighbor, and it just looked awful. It was flat. But then I learned that you could go a little further north and experience some things, and I began to like the weather. The low humidity in particular was great. We didn't even have an air conditioner, and the house was cool. I liked that. I liked traveling long distances. It was, a boy driving a car gets to drive 40 miles to town, and he got an excuse for getting home after midnight. But the terrain, you have to get used to it. It's desolate. There's no big oak trees, and the markers that you're used to seeing here, like Bodark Post or big oak tree on the corner, you turn left at that big oak tree that's been there 150 years. Here, out there, there's not that. But I began to see it from an aerial view. I got to fly above it one time in my Bob Lee's plane, and I could see how it was laid out in squares and big sections of land where people farmed. Your neighbor might be 20 miles away, but they were always open and always ready to help. So it's like anything else. Some people would like it, and other people would just hate it, probably.
And now, Go Down Looking by Jim Ainsworth, read by the author.
The pickup's front bumper almost touched the front porch of his grandfather's house on Division Street before Jake killed the engine. The trip there had been a blur. He remembered the GMC cranking on the first push, not much after that. The wind picked up as he stepped out. The screen door creaked more than usual from the cold. The pine door was not locked. Jake wondered if it had ever been. Thought about thieves taking his grandfather's few possessions. The house felt colder inside than outside. The wood floor creaked and the windows moaned as he pulled the chain on the overhead light. He flinched when he thought he saw the rocker moved. Imagine his grandfather sitting there with his fiddle. Whiskey and a snuff glass sat on the nightstand. The old man's presence already haunted the house. Every possession, every sound shouted Griffin Rivers. As Jake stepped out on the screen back porch, he checked for the spurs, but could not see them without moonlight. He moved his hands along the wall until he found them. He took them down, spun the rowels, and heard the lonesome sound of catgut fiddle strings against horsehair bowstrings playing Faded Love. The sound seemed to travel from deep in the woods along Jernigan Creek and down the South Sulphur River as Jake saw his horseback grandfather traveling those old haunts. It flowed through the cracks in the pine floors and walls and seeped into the pores of Jake's skin. One line that didn't seem to fit played itself in his head. It was in the springtime when you said goodbye. The sound of his brother in the front room startled him as he checked the Crosley radio to see if it still worked. Static, as if Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff had left to take Griffin Rivers to play and sing with Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams in heaven. Jake was rehanging the spurs when Gray and Bob Lee joined him on the porch. Jake stared at his brother. Gray looked back inside, recalling memories. Still seems kind of strange to think he lived here in town. I'll always have him in that little shotgun shack out by us. Jake felt a closer bond with his brother. Bob Lee, a maternal cousin, seemed to be an intruder on their shared memories. Jake's voice shook from the cold. Yeah, he never liked it in town, but this room looks pretty much like the one he lived in out there. Same stuff. Gray picked up the old man's spectacles. Except for the fiddle. Wish I knew where it was. Guess we'll never find it now. Guess not. A greeting card slid off the bed at Jake's feet as he pushed against the bed to reach for the light chain. He picked it up and read. Happy birthday, Papa, was above the signatures of his five children. They had signed in order of age, oldest first. Jake's voice was a whisper. This is Papa's birthday. Jake grabbed the card. You sure? I'm sure. 83. I guess Daddy was right. He planned it. Jake pulled the light chain. You remember much about his twin sister? Gray shook his head. Almost forgot he had one. She still alive? Bob Lee had stayed close to the door to allow the brothers privacy to grieve the passing of their grandfather. "Damn, boys, let's get out of here. Being in a dark room where somebody just died gives me the willies." On the front porch, they were aimless, cold, unsure what to do next. Jake sat in his grandfather's swing, shivering. Gray leaned against a porch post. Daddy said that he just got tired of living. Jake could not imagine such a thing. He could only remember his grandfather as the man who rode his horse to their back porch most mornings, the man who insisted that Jake groom and ride his own horse daily, the man who only traveled horseback, the man who heard his own music every day. He did not want to think of the fear he had begun to notice in Griffin's eyes and when he became confused. Jake had the door to the GMC open when his mind cleared enough to ask a question. "Why are you here, Gray boy? What business you tending to that they let you come home?" "Divorce business, Jake. Evelyn's been sleeping around while I've been gone. Came home to kill him or her or both." Wound up signing divorce papers instead. Jake still could not figure things out. "You signed papers in the panhandle? How did you and Bob Lee hook up?" "I hitched all the way from California to Vega. Bob Lee met me at the courthouse in Oldham County. She's back with her parents now." Jake remembered the little house where Evelyn had lived. It struck him as sort of funny that it was only a few yards from the courthouse. "She didn't have to walk far to sign the papers, did she?" Jake Gray didn't catch the lame attempt at humor. "Bob Lee saw a chance to get his pickup back, so I hitched a ride with him. Mama was crying when I walked in the door, and that's the first I had heard about Papa." "What about Ridge?" Gray's baby son had been given Jake's middle name. Gray's features hardened. His eyes grew cold. "He's staying with his mother and her new boyfriend till I get out." Gray made two fists. "Then we'll see." Jake closed the pickup door and Gray immediately wrapped the window. Jake rolled it down and Gray leaned in. "Don't say anything about Ridge to Daddy. He's got enough to deal with and he'll give me hell about it."
You've been listening to Jim Ainsworth of Commerce reading an excerpt from his 2012 novel, Go Down Looking. This program is Texas Scribes, a weekly show featuring the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. Texas Scribes was created by Sherry Gardner. You can hear previous episodes of Texas Scribes online at ketr.org.